Hello and welcome to our broadcast. We've been looking at the seven pastors in the book of Revelation. Today we're in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, speaking about the pastor at Thyatira. Stay tuned for our message today. Well, we read in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, and unto the angel, or the pastor of the church at Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Well, we look at the pastor's ministry, and Christ commends the pastor for his very active ministry. The pastor was not a lazy man. Christ said, I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and patience, and thy works, he mentions again, and the last to be more than the first. He was a busy man and he was a burdened man. And Christ had no problem with his ministry. The pastor's motives? Well, we must never judge the motives of other Christians. However, God knows the heart. And Christ said, I know thy works and charity. And the word charity here is agape, which speaks of an unconditional love. But as we look at the pastor's maturity, he commends the pastor for his growth in spiritual maturity. He refers to his patience and his works, and the last to be more than the first. But he points out a mistake, and that is, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, pastor, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Notice the phrase, that woman. Christ rebuked the pastor because he allowed that woman to influence the people in his congregation. Notice the rebuke was, thou, pastor, thou sufferest that woman to teach and seduce my servants. It has been my experience over many years in the ministry that the women in the churches I have pastored have been godly people. Christ does not rebuke the pastor concerning all women in that church there at Thyatira, but rather that woman. It has also been my experience over the years that the majority of problems in a local church are caused by women. Christ rebuked the pastor for letting that woman influence the people. The Lord used Jezebel as an analogy concerning the issue in the church at Thyatira. Jezebel was a wicked woman, and so was any woman who would dare to influence church members against the teachings of the Word of God. Sin must never be condoned in the church. The pastor is responsible to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which he has learned, and avoid them. Romans 16, verse number 17. God gave the pastor three specific books concerning how sin is to be dealt with in the local church. Those books are 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. He then gave pastors seven letters that were written for our admonition as pastors. Speaking to the pastors, God warns them that sin must be rebuked before all, that others may fear. That is found in the pastor's manual on how to run a local church, which is 1st Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 20. Referring to this verse, Barnes, in his notes on the New Testament, wrote, I quote, it is a duty to reprove those who err. It is a painful duty and one much neglected. Still, it is a duty often enjoined in the Scriptures and one that is of the deepest importance to the church, unquote. The word sufferest in our text means to tolerate, to permit, or to allow. Christ rebuked his pastor at Thyatira because he allowed a woman to influence the sheep to go in the direction of the wolves. When this happens, the pastor has a duty to stand up and do something about it. There's much more to pastoring a church than preaching three times a week. When a pastor tolerates a woman to be used of the devil to harm the sheep Christ died for, he invites the anger and judgment of God himself. Again, when we sit back and allow that kind of wickedness to go unchecked, we invite the anger and the judgment of God. Well, the next church we have here is the church at Sardis. In chapter 3 and verse number 1 we read, "And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garment, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." Now that is important to understand, that every word of that is written to the pastor. Look at verse 1. "Unto the angel of the church." The angel means messenger, means pastor. "Unto the pastor of the church I write." Pastor, I know thy works. He said to the pastor, you have a name that you live, but you are dead. Christ rebuked the pastor, saying the church was dead, even though they appeared to be thriving. Christ said, thou hast a name that thou livest. It looked great on the outside. However, that's not the way the Lord saw it. To Christ, it was like a nicely dressed corpse in a funeral home. There is no mention of anyone promoting heresy in this church, in contrast with the other churches. However, neither is there any mention of persecution in contrast with the other churches. Unlike the early days of the local church dispensation, the church at Sardis was pastored by a pastor who never offended anybody. Christ warned the pastor to wake up. He said, "Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent." Christ said to the pastor, "Thou hast a few names even in Sardis," and he demands him to take action. The pastor was to strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. In recent years, there have been some things in our fundamental independent Baptist churches that are ready to die. For instance, the doctrine of salvation is sick unto death. We need to ask ourselves as fundamental independent Baptist pastors if we are still holding fast to the things which we have received and heard concerning the subject of separation. We need to be proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Is it acceptable unto the Lord when we instruct our church members not to fellowship with Christians who have a poor standard of music, and then we as pastors fellowship with Calvinists who blatantly attack the character of God when they teach that God may have brought the babies in your church nursery into this world for no other reason than he wanted to watch them burn in hell for eternity? That's what Calvinism teaches. Is it acceptable when we preach to our people that fellowship with evangelical Christians is wrong, and then we as pastors fellowship with those who hold the damnable heresy that repentance is not necessary for salvation? It's a damnable heresy. Jesus said, "I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Again, Christ warned the pastor here. He said, "Wake up." He said, "Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent." And then the Lord said, "If therefore thou," talking to the pastor, "shall not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." Well, it happened like it happened in Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah began his ministry about 60 years after Isaiah died. the kingdom of Judah was in captivity in Babylon. And 2 Kings 24:14 tells us that none remained save the poorest sort of the people in the land. So all the rich people were taken off into Babylon, and the poor people remained behind. In his mercy, God gave this little remnant in Israel, Jeremiah, and he was there to minister to them. And Jeremiah warned them of the coming Babylonian captivity. He had challenged them, saying, "What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity and become vain?" In verse 5. He said, "They walk after things which do not profit." In verse 8. He said, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Verse 8. And then he said, "Thou turned into a degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me." Now, chapter 3 records God's call to repentance. Well, they continued going through the motions of serving God each week while ignoring his warnings. In chapter 4 through 6, God warned of the approaching judgment. Well, they just continued in their temple activities and ignored the warnings of God. In chapter 13, God gave them 5 more warnings. Oh, they ignored them again, and judgment fell. Where did God place the blame? Jeremiah 2:8, "The pastors transgressed against me." Jeremiah 10:21, "For the pastors have become brutish and have not sought the Lord." Jeremiah 12:10, "The pastors have destroyed my vineyard." Jeremiah 23:1, "Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." Jeremiah 23:2, "The pastors have scattered my flock." Well, God's people ended up in bondage, and God laid the blame at the feet of the pastors. Let's read God's present-day warning again. He said, "And unto the pastor of the church at Sardis write, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." He continued, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Revelation 3:1-4. Well, then the Lord turns his focus on a few people in the congregation. He says, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments." And a close examination of our church congregations will quickly reveal that the majority of people do very little or nothing for the cause of Christ. It is commonly reported that about 90% of the people in our fundamental independent Baptist churches just attend, even though God commands every Christian to use their gifts and their talents in the local church. God warned the pastor at Sardis if he did not get things back on track according to the will of God, he would lose those few names that wanted the old past. Christ said, "They shall walk with me." If the pastor takes a compromising direction, the cream of the crop will leave him so they can continue to walk with the Lord. This happened when the pastors in the evangelical movement would not listen to God's warning, and the sincere Christians left and founded what we call fundamental churches. Well, now it's happening again. Sincere Christians will leave when fundamental independent Baptist pastors refuse to give the warnings of the Word of God and to stand separated like the Word of God commands us to do. Well, in chapter 3 and verse number 7, he writes to the pastor at the church at Philadelphia, and he says, "I know thy works. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." That sounds like a good thing. He said, "You have a little strength, and has kept my word, and has not denied my name." We'll look at that tomorrow. Be sure and tune in for our broadcast.